We're doing the Navi Yeshayahu. We're up to what's called the 32nd chapter, Lamed Bet, the 12th Pasuk. The Navi had been describing the imminent destruction that's going to come with the attack of Sancheiriv. And the Navi is saying, you, the people of Judea, are sitting peacefully because you don't realize what's about to come. Even though we know ultimately the temple was spared from Sancheiriv, but most of Judea was plundered by Sancheiriv. And so the Navi says, you women who are sitting here so peacefully, listen, in a short time, things are not going to be so peaceful. People will have nothing to eat. You should really be worried because there's going to be an attack that's going to violate so many women. And the Navi continues in Pasuk Yud Bet, Al Shadayim Sofidim. People will lament, and the way they used to lament is they used to hit themselves on the chest as they would weep. Al Sidei Med Al Gefin Poria. People will be weeping, hitting themselves on the chest as they weep the cherished orchards, the cherished vineyards that used to give them so much fruit, and now they are desolate. Al admat ami kot shamir ya'ale, because my nation's land will be overtaken, will be overrun by thorns. There will be destruction throughout the land of Israel. Ki al kol batei masos kirya aliza, because the thorns will grow over all these houses they used to party in throughout Jerusalem. The city that used to be a city of partying will turn into a city of thorn, a city of destruction. Ki almon nutash hamon ir uzav, because the palace will be left desolate. The masses of the city will just leave. They will be left without leadership. Ofel vavachan hayam be'ad me'arot adolam. Hashem says the towers, which they used to look out and see if the enemy was approaching. Ofel is a large tower that's used for fortification. Bachan is another type of tower that was used to look out if the enemy was approaching. So Ofel Vavachan, the two types of towers. Haya Be'ad Me'arot Adolam. They were exchanged for caves where people ran to live in caves like animals to hide from the enemy, and it seemed like it was for eternity, a long time. Misos Piraim Mirei Adarim. And it's they're going to be like wild animals that rejoice when they walk into a cave and they find some food. So too, they're going to enter the caves and be happy. Oh wow, we found food. Another interpretation says Misos Piraim, that the Yishmaelites will rejoice when they see Jerusalem desolate and available for themselves. And here we see, according to this interpretation, that not only Yishmael was called Pere Adam, a wild man, but his descendants are also referred to by the Navi as Piraim, wild people. So what we read until now was the literal interpretation of the Psukim. Our sages say, Al Sidei Chemed, over the cherished vineyards, that's talking about the Sanhedrin. That the Sanhedrin are like the source of sustenance of the people, and the Sanhedrin will be exiled. And with the destruction of the temple, with the destruction of Judea, you had a destruction of leadership, not only leadership, political leadership, but also Torah leadership. And when he says, Al Gefen Poria, so they will mourn that fruitful vineyard, that's talking about the Jewish people at large, that the Jewish people are called the vineyard. Sdei Chemed could be the high courts, Sdei Chemed could be the Beit HaMikdash. So this term, Sidei Chemed, the cherished field, became a term in Judaism. Sidei Chemed. There are even books called Sidei Chemed. And again, Chazal saw different depths, different interpretations as to what Sidei Chemed refers to, be it the High Court or the Sanhedrin or the Beit HaMikdash. Pasuk Tetvav. Ad yeyare aleinu ruach mimarom, until Hashem pours over us a spirit from above, and that's Hashem's will, Hashem's mercy. V'haya midbar la'karmel, and then the desert will become like the Carmel. Carmel was a place that had many fields and vineyards. Wherever you have a grouping of fields and vineyards, that's called Carmel. V'ha'karmel la'ya'al yechashev, and the places where the nations are living now will become the places which are now Carmel, which is the areas of the nations where they think they are succeeding in their fields and their vineyards, La'yal Yechashev, will be overturned into a forest and will not be productive. So Israel, which is Midbar, which is desolate, will become Carmel, and Carmel, the places around Israel which are inhabited, will become forests. V'shachan b'midbar mishpat, and Jerusalem, which was like a desert, will again have justice in it. Will again have people living and presiding over justice in Jerusalem. Utznaka b'karmel teshev, and throughout Israel, you will again have righteousness. You will again have people behaving properly with one another. V'haya ma'asei hatzedakah shalom. And Hashem says, because people will be righteous with one another, the product of that is peace. Chazal say, you want peace? Be righteous to one another. Vayama setzedaka shalom. The product, the result of being just with one another is peace. Vavodeha tzedaka hashket mavetach ad olam. And again, this is the same idea in different words, that the righteousness will bring quiet and peace and confidence forever. V'yashav ami binvei shalom. My nation will then be able to live in a country, a house of peace. U'v'mishkenot mivtachim u'v'imnuchot shananim. People will be able to live in confidence. You know, one of the questions that people might not ask anymore, but I remember a time when people did ask this question, was the question of how much should I invest in my house that's beyond the green line? So what are the odds that I'm going to have this house in 20 years, in 50 years? So this idea of living in confidence, it's a totally different life. You know, when you live and you think, I have a future here, so you invest differently. You build differently. When you live, and in the back of your mind, you ask yourself, who knows how much longer I'm going to be here, and who knows if this is going to last? So then you also have to think how much you want to invest. And one of the greatest things a person has when they buy their own house is that feeling that I'm going to invest here because I plan on staying here. That when he speaks about this confidence, we can't overstate how much that confidence is a different life. It's just that when you buy a house, when you settle in a house, you like to think, I'm here, and so I'm going to invest differently. There are a million examples to this. You know, do you invest in air conditioning? Long-term air conditioning makes sense. They say that you save a lot of money on your electric bill over a radiator, but you have to believe you're going to be there long-term. How much do you invest in insulation? How much do you invest in making things comfortable the way you want? You know, in Gush Katif, there was a family where the mother was handicapped, and they set up the whole house. It was one floor house. The whole house was set up according to their needs. So it's devastating when you think about what the destruction did to them.
Nobody compensates them specially for that.
Right.
Whatever it is, you get it to the head of the room.
Right. So when the Navi says, when there'll be righteousness, there'll be peace. And the product will be confidence. Confidence is a tremendous gift. When you have confidence, you live a different life. Yes?
Sorry. Do we know from any of the sources that it is not a mitzvah, then it's a very strong recommendation from the world of Torah, like to buy a house, build a house, or is it not so that we find that?
The Rambam writes that we see two descriptions of life. When there's blessing, so the Torah describes a person will have an ox, a person will have a field, a person will have a home. The Rambam says that's the intelligent way. You build up your assets, you build up your sources of sustenance, and then you buy a house. It's so to speak, it's the healthy process of development. When things are not in order, so then a person first has a house, and then he looks for the field, and then he looks for the ox. So he's working in backwards order, which the Rambam says that's the way many fools do. They enter debt, and then they work their way backwards to figure out how to get out of that debt. How will I cover all my costs? You want to build up. So yes, we do have this idea of it's a good thing that a person should ultimately own their own home, or should buy a house. I would add there's a simple a simple piece of advice that if we touched on the topic, it's worth knowing. Right next to the Tachana Merkazit, next to the central bus station, so there's a store that sells all kinds of hardware goods, and I've been buying that store for over a decade. And about a half a year ago, I noticed new people behind the counter. So I asked the young man, are you the new owner? And he says, yes, I just bought this hardware store. So I said to him, you know, the store has a lot of potential. He said, yeah. He said to me, I'm going to put in new lighting here, and I'm going to get new shelves over there. And he starts telling me all the changes he plans on making. And I said to him, you know, you made a few changes already in the store that I believe you're already seeing 20 to 30% increase in your sales. He said, you're right. I said, then I would recommend, instead of going into debt, make the profit, put it on the side, take the profit, and work off of the profit. He said, if I make these changes, I'll have more profit. I said, yeah, but there are two types of business models. You're always tempted to develop your business and then you assume I'll make more money and that'll cover the cost. And it's smarter most of the time to take the profit and use the profit to build. And then you sleep at night because you have no debt. You've worked off your profit. And you don't have to assume that your advancements will cover themselves because you've already covered the cost of the advancement. So let the profit build the profit. And he said, I'll think about it. And a month later, I stopped in the store again, and he said to me, you know, what you said changed my life. He said to me, I took that advice, and I'm in fact building my way up instead of the other way. And he said, it's a different life. He said, I suddenly realized that there's so many things when you run a hardware store, they offer you, try to sell this product, that product, and you're tempted. You tell yourself, I'll sell three, I covered the cost of the rest. You're tempted to enter that debt. But if you work the other way, you say, I have products that are selling. When I have excess cash flow, then I'll use it to develop the next step. So then you're not under pressure. I'm just saying that this idea of the Rambam is that what I told him as far as the business model, it's also the Rambam. It's most of the time, you want to work your way up. You want to work your way where the profit is going to support the next growth, and not the other way around. There are exceptions. It's true sometimes a person won't get there if he doesn't take a mortgage. There are situations where you're never going to have a house if you're not going to take a mortgage. But you got to think about it. You got to think about how you're going to cover that mortgage cost, etc. Yeah.
Was the Rambam talking here specifically towards related to